All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
This podcast is being brought to you by PonchoOutdoors.com. You know, when you're out on the water outdoors, you want to have something that's going to protect you, right? A nice quality shirt. Poncho Outdoors has meant that. They have a shirt out there, both long and short sleeve, UPF 50 to keep you protected from that sun. And they come in sizes that fit both about everybody, both large, small, and you know what? They even offer a slim fit option. Check it out. These shirts, if you go to PonchoOutdoors.com, these shirts have 100% money-back guarantee, so you can't go wrong. And one other thing, there's a bonus on this. When you check out, use promo code ALLEYESONFISHING, and you know what? You get a great shirt, but you also get a free hat with it. Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Great topic today, guys. We're going to be talking about the dog days of summer. I know everybody is struggling. Or it becomes a lot harder. I don't know if struggling is the right word, because I'm struggling, but Junior would say he's not, but he's lying.
Already.
Are you struggling?
I'm not struggling. Well, I'm struggling.
Of course not. Well,
yeah. I'm struggling to get on the water, but once I'm there, it's not that tough. But that's the difference between Brad and I is...
I get on the water and you don't?
Okay. Well, is the struggle bus goes by his house a few more times than it goes by mine. But
anyway, let's get into it. What are we doing right now? So we're talking when water temperature is warm. When you're talking the day is always in the 90s, you know, right around there, 90, yeah. 95, hot.
Even in Canada.
Hot.
It's hot.
Hot.
Yeah.
Like egg on the cement, cooking hot.
Yeah.
That's we're talking about.
That's hot.
Well, I say dog days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now everybody knows what we mean.
Well, yeah.
We're talking dog days.
Well, and since everybody in here is an expert, Brad, let's see what's your favorite.
You go. I don't have one.
You don't have a favorite dog days technique.
I don't. You know what? Here's the thing. If I was probably gonna go out, I would start using some sort of glide bait or shiver minnows.
You're such a piece of.
Because I know that's where you're going with it.
If you guys only knew. All right, so let's start with Mitch.
Let's go down this road here.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Well, Mitch. I tell you what, I'm going to change it up because to me the whole key to it is the fish have just moved. They went from, you know, their spring pattern, then that early summertime invertebrate bite, you know, right. Leeches, crawlers, you know, up in
bugs.
The, you know, 10, 12 feet or shallower, like, or casts and stuff, and... Well, guess what? That water temp has moved them.
Yeah.
The forage has moved. Everything's kind of changes around right now. So they're biting. I guarantee you they're biting.
Oh, yeah.
Metabolism's the highest of the year, so they're feeding the most. But the other problem that we have is the bait fish usually are, you know, kind of the young of the year bait fish now. We're starting to get up to size to where they're appealing and... Yeah, it's a smorgasbord, so yep. It gets tough.
Well, your competition is tougher. I mean, you're competing with, you know, thousands in each bait ball of shad or alewives or, you know, rainbow smelt, whatever it is you have in your lake. There's just so many of them now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it makes it tougher, makes it harder.
It does. Well, you know, I'm going to go trolling.
I am too.
I'm going to pull crankbaits.
Yeah, and so...
And we've talked about that at Midsummer Troll at 3. One, yeah. It is relating to that structure that normally held fish a little bit shallower, which it can still hold fish shallow. There is a group of fish that are going to stay shallow and stay in their weed beds all year, right? I mean, you can still catch them there.
Well, I think you're right, but I think summertime is a mix of many patterns in one day.
Yes.
I think summertime is...
That's where I was going.
Or dog days. Yeah, of course that's where he was going.
Mitch, no, I was.
Mitch, you knew that's
well,
where
he was
going. Well,
you kind of right? Interrupted because I said there's fish that are held in the weeds.
Yeah.
And then there's fish, like Mitch said, he's going to troll because he's going to troll that outside structure. And then I know where you're going to go with it. You're going to go with casting up shallow or even finding some of those deeper humps. And that's all in one day a dog
days. Absolutely. I think the key with summertime success is you have to be flexible and you can't go out and fish memories. If you go fish memories, you're going to be fishing a bunch of dead water because the fish are moving. They're scattered. They're not necessarily in tight schools of, you know, like they can be in the spring, of 50, 60 walleye sitting on a hump, and you just keep going back and forth, and before you know it, you have a whole box full in 10 minutes, and you're off the water, right? I mean, that's not how it works. And you can tell, like, especially with the Erie guys are a great example, right? You'll see their posts where they've got them all lined up across the back of their boat or in the parking lot or whatever. And they're like, you know, 20 minutes of trolling and we were done, you know. And it's like, hey, that's awesome. That's springtime, big schools of fish, you know, out coming off of the spawn. That's great. But now they're going to be more scattered. You're not going to, you know, if you're lucky and you hit a big school like that in the open water, you can still have a day like that. But more than likely, it's going to be a few fish here, a few fish there, you know. So I think you got to be open. You got to be open to doing different things. And, you know, we're starting to see a lot on social media, as we follow social media, and is, you know, guys are out there and they're shivering humps and other places that would hold fish in the middle of nowhere, right? So they're out in the middle of Green Bay finding humps and shivering humps. So, you know, I think it's, you could be fishing 3 feet of water in the morning. You could troll crankbaits by 10 o'clock, and by 2:30, you know, that bite could be dead, and you could be out looking for a submerged island or humps or a reef and shivering fish off top of it.
Just to kind of go how fast it changes, I went out to one of our local lakes just last week, and Mitch was out there just a few days before me, and he was out catching them in one area that we call it Mandy's Highway, just because his daughter's name's Mandy, and we've fished it for years, right?
And she caught her first walleye right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's...
It's not, a submerged roadbed, is what it is.
It is, but and the fish are usually there this time of year or a little bit early. So Mitch was there. He found fish there. It's that 13, 17-foot transition. I went there, what was it, 4 or 5 days later?
Yeah.
And no, it was ghost town. But I did find him, hotter day, in 10 feet.
Yeah.
Right? Same time of day. Well, I'm going out there again today, so I'll see if they're there. But I told some buddies at work, they went there, and one of our local pros that fishes, he was on our exact spot right where I was catching him.
Yeah.
And he said they watched him catch fish after fish, and after about 45 minutes, it shut down. And then all of a sudden, they said, why was he out in the middle?
Yeah.
You know,
slid out.
Because they slid out, and he started pulling cranks, and he was catching fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they watched him, and we sat there and fished all day, and they catch anymore.
Right.
Well, it's because they moved. It's dog days.
Right.
You know,
right.
I didn't stick to Mitch's pattern of that 17-foot.
Right.
I found him in 10. It lasted for, I would only fish it for 45 minutes. They happened to be there the whole time. But so they did, too. They fished where I told them to go.
Yeah.
It didn't last long, though.
Yeah.
So that's what we're saying. There's all kinds. They just move. You
right.
will find them.
Right.
You just got to be versatile and really, really move.
Right.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You brought up, Junior, don't fish memories.
Right.
Great example of that, I think, this last week. I got to go home to Minnesota for the weekend, and one of my buddies, who can fish, mm-hmm. he can straight up fish,
mm-hmm.
He and his brand new girlfriend went out in her boat, and... Sure enough, each evening and fished, pulling death, and they caught one sunfish each night.
Pulling death? What were they pulling it without a hook?
I don't know.
Without a worm?
Yeah.
You tell me that the hook doesn't work unless you put a worm on it.
I was kind of surprised because the dude can fish,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But I think it was a great example of he was stuck back in that, you know, end of May, early June, live bait bite. The fish were there, and of course you're just going to stay right there.
Right.
So to me, it just kind of hit me like, yeah, the only reason you caught just sunfish because there weren't any fish there.
Right.
Because come on, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, and something to think about too, if a good technique that has worked well for us in the past, when we get into this time of year, is, you know, those fish, like we talked about, they may be on a, let's say, a series of points, right? So you're trolling up a shoreline, and there's a point that comes out, and 50 yards past that's another point that comes out, and off those points, it's 25 feet deep. And you're trolling crankbaits. A good technique this time of year, and something that combines well, two techniques that combine well. If you've ever watched anything on Next Bite and you see Cavias talking about driving around on the Green Bay or something, and he marks the fish and he, you know, stops, backs up, puts down the electric, if he even does that, casts out, shiver 3 or 4 times, and then moves on to the next fish. Basically fishes what he sees, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So a good thing is if you longline troll and you can hand hold troll crankbaits, right? Each of you can hold a rod. Or if you want to put them in on a trolling rod with line counters and just let them out every time you come across, long line troll, no boards, just straight off behind the boat, two rods. And the second you cross over those fish, cross over them with the crankbaits, turn around, come reel up, turn around, come back, have your rods ready with a shiver minnow, any other glide bait, any other vibration bait, like a blade bait, something like that. Have them ready. You turn around, come back, cast to that spot five or six times, and I promise you, if you don't get them on the crankbait, or even if you do get them on the crankbait, you come back, you cast the other one, you're gonna pull them in. I mean, you're gonna get one or two off that spot and do it every time you go by.
It is good because you're consistently working while you're driving the lake, and you're not ripping, you're not going 40 down the lake.
No, you're trolling.
You're trolling down the lake, and you're consistently fishing with those baits that are behind your boat with cranks, so you're actively fishing,
right.
But what you're doing is really paying attention. You're paying attention to what your graph is. I don't know how many times me and Mitch have talked about trusting your electronics.
Right.
Trust them.
Yeah.
Because they don't just make marks for a reason.
Right.
There is definitely... you definitely need to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
So it's great what you're saying, because that is something, you know, I haven't even thought about telling people is when you're trolling, have your... Even if you're not comfortable with fishing a blade bait or a glide bait...
You want to do a jig, whatever.
Yeah, cast a jig, because they do take a little bit of work, or a little bit different, casting like a jigging wrap or a shiver minnow. It takes a little bit to figure out how to work those.
Sure, sure. And they're all different.
They do work good. So, no, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up, because you're consistently working an area.
In this time of year, since they are so aggressive, right? Since they are so, you know, sometimes a lot of people who fish walleyes in a more traditional sense, it's too slow. If you drag bait past them, too slow. It's just not catching their attention.
Well, too slow at certain parts of the day.
Right, but I'm just saying it's sometimes it's too slow.
Okay.
Keyword sometimes. It's just too slow, right? You throw a slip bobber, or you're dragging a crawler in a split shot. It just may not catch their attention. But if you go out there with some sort of glide bait or a jig and you're ripping it, you know, you're doing the hard jigs, I mean, that's going to catch their attention in this time of year, and they're going to attack it. And so it is a great combination of you troll by, and if that crankbait doesn't get their attention, flip back around, especially if you see good fish, right? If you see one fish, remember, if you see one fish on your graph, there's probably 10, right?
Yep.
But you spin back around. If you don't see a lot of fish, or you pick up one here, one there, then don't waste your time. But if you're going to... If you see a good concentration of fish and you roll by with the crank and nothing hits it, man, spin back around, go back to where you saw it, even hit a waypoint on your graph, go right back to your waypoint, sit there for, you know, 5-10 minutes, do the jig, whatever it is you want to do, jig or glide bait or blade bait, whatever, and try to get them that way. Something is going to make them pop, right? And so if you do that on a series of points, and you get two fish off each point, whether it be one on crank, one on you know, glide bait.
Yeah, you're having a pretty good
day. Now you're having a good day.
Yeah.
So.
No, we usually put it at 10 minutes max, but usually 10 to 12 casts.
Yeah.
Each.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's about 10 minutes.
Sure.
Or a little less, but, you know, I'm glad we're talking a little bit about the glide baits, because when you're in dog days, especially right after dog days of summer, once you're starting to transition, kids are going back to school and stuff, you're going to end up talking more about, you're going to use those glide baits, or at least those jigging wraps, those blade baits, a lot.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a future podcast. Well, we'll cover what kind we're using, how to work them, whatever we end up talking about.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a time and place for consistently using those as your go-to start with.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
But that'll be here shortly.
And those baits are becoming a... You know,
some people are using them all year long.
I was just going to say, originally designed as an ice fishing bait, but now it's, you know, you can use them all year long.
We've used them all year long. I'm still kind of in that mode more of a, I've used them in the summer, but I'm still kind of in the mode more of a late summer, early fall, definitely through the winter bite. And I think, I don't know, Mitch, when we've been out together, I don't remember you saying, dude, we need to start putting on some shad wraps or some jigging wraps.
No.
Well, I can tell
you. But it's the time of year. You know, it was spring. We were casting shallow. you know, in weeds, in cover, to where, tough. You know, that gets pretty tough with a shiver minnow or jig right. wraps and stuff.
Right.
Where,
but humps, you know, like Junior's talking you know, about,
now,
easy.
Now some of these fish are moving out to mid-lake humps and, mm-hmm. you know, deeper water structure. Now it is a good time to start working on
them. Well, and I think, too, sometimes it's the lake, right? I mean, it's where you're at. We fish a particular lake where that is a fairly solid presentation all year. So we fished a tournament at the end of June, and we used them quite a bit. So, I mean, that's the, you know, that's the part where you have to just kind of know where you're at, know what you're doing. We saw guys in early spring using them. You know, most guys were using jig head to minnow mm-hmm. and catching fish in 10, 12 feet of water, and it was cold, and water was barely 50 degrees, and there were guys that were casting shivers up and snapping them back and catching fish. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is one of those things where you just have to, you know what know your lake, know your situation, but, I mean, try them. I'm not going to let the fact that it's August or the fact that it's July dictate what I use. So
no, well, yeah, I mean, you got, like anything else, you're going to be thinking of what you predominantly use anytime you right. go out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just needs to be something you need to be cognizant of, because you can definitely use them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I tell you what, a lot of people can have success when that bite's hot. You know, in that June time frame,
right.
across the
late
countries.
May, early June, just kill it.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, look at me, I can hammer the walleye.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, and then they kind of pack it up and do their summer barbecue period here through
sure.
July and yeah. August, and just stay off the water, because, you know, in the past it is harder to catch them.
Yes.
But I tell you what, now is a great time to kind of expand what your comfort zone, and
drop shotting is another one.
Yeah.
You got to, you know,
change
it's
it up.
Great time to practice that.
Change it up. And you know what, for me personally, when I get on a bite, catch some fish, I don't have to catch very many, and I'm giving myself a thumbs up. You know,
right.
it feels good. I know it can be tougher this time of the year. So,
and I think,
well, for walleye though, I mean, the yeah. smallies are still going.
Yeah,
the smallies, great.
Oh yeah, I mean, the walleyes are yeah. going great too, but they're mixed in. And yeah. you know,
Junior, what about the trout? Are they hot right now?
Oh well,
he's kind of our trout expert.
Yeah, they're not bad. Group. Same way with the carp. You guys know all about the carp.
I'd rather have carp though.
I'd catch a carp over and the same yeah. carp over and over.
Yeah, yeah. you know, but I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a good example. Is, you know, there are times of year where it's easy, right? Everybody's, oh. and I think where you really start to broaden who you are as a fisherman is. Can you catch it in the early spring when it's tough? Can you catch them in the midsummer when it's a little bit tougher? Can you catch them when they start to transition to that fall bite before it becomes, you know, because in the fall they put on the feed bag and it becomes a little easier again. That's where you start to figure out consistency. We've talked about it 1,000 times, and we'll talk about it 1,000 more before, you know, it's all said and done, is can you consistently catch fish throughout the year? And, you know, and it goes into winter, it goes into ice fishing, which, you know, is what you two do, and together in a small tent, and but it goes into that kind of pattern. Like, can you catch fish all year? And so I think that's the key. Is, you know, yeah, everybody can catch them June, you know, 15th to July 15th. Mm-hmm. But now let's see after July 15th, when those fish aren't all schooled up sitting in one spot, let's see who can consistently continue to do it. And that's where you start to grow.
Well, and that's what we're trying to get out to our listeners, is that there's definitely fish out there. Get out and fish them, first of all. You don't give up on them. And there's definitely ways to do it. Are you going to be as successful? Probably not. And the reason, I mean, you're not going to catch 100 fish a day. And the reason is because, like what Mitch said, or maybe you said it, Josh, earlier, there's a billion bait fish that yeah. you're out there competing with.
Yeah.
It's not that the fish aren't active. They just have... It's right. a buffet,
right?
You yeah. know, and you got a 3-inch yep. or whatever you're using, you're competing with in whatever piece of water that you're on. Right. You know, in the 1 foot that you cast it in with 3 inches, you're like, okay, let's make this work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot when you yeah. think about it. Yep. You know, that you got to try to figure out.
Yeah, it's tougher. So, is there any other presentation that you guys would go to this time of year that we haven't talked about?
Yes,
I got one.
Go ahead.
I've got one too.
Bottom bouncers.
I was out last week. That's what I did. Is I pulled bottom mouthers. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do today. I think I'm going to go. We're going to go more smallie fishing today.
Oh, yeah.
But because I geez, they were really catching them up on the rocks. They were pushed up.
Yeah.
Up on the rocks a few days ago, so
yeah.
I think we're going to go cast them, and we're going to be casting five flickers. I'm not even going to use the big ones.
Right.
I'm using the small ones because of the way that that dam comes out. It stays, its max depth where we'll be casting is probably seven, and it gets down too fast. The seven gets down a little bit deeper than the five, and I don't want to get hung up in the rocks.
Hey, real quick, while we're talking about fives and sevens, why don't you guys tell them what a five is and what a seven is? We had a question from one of our listeners.
We've actually had this a couple times. I thought we've brought it up, but a five, like if you're talking a flicker shed five, whatever, it's 5 centimeters is the length of the bait.
Yeah.
7 centimeters would be a seven, 11, I mean, and vice versa.
Yeah,
so when you talk a stick bait, you're talking, when we say stick baits, we're talking about one that's more like a pencil that doesn't have a deep belly. When we're talking like shad wraps or flicker sheds, we're talking one more that's like, looks like a shad.
Right.
Right. Right? But the size is 5, 7,
and
11.
Commonly 5, 7s are the common size. Now, flicker sheds have a series of, you know, sixes in there, just a little bit different, but they look more or less like a seven.
They're
right?
kind of a suspending one.
Yeah, they suspend. So I mean, that's the difference. And just so everybody knows, that's what we're talking about. Five and sevens are the most common terminology, most common two sizes. If a new crankbait comes out, it is more than likely going to be a five or seven.
Yeah,
That just seems to be the common size range for crankbaits.
So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to still work fish with bouncers.
Yep.
And I think bouncers are a great choice, and I would actually maybe even use that before I went out and trolled crankbaits for suspended fish. I might go up and cast jigs or.
Well, I'm gonna pull the bouncers probably a little bit shallower and kind of see where I'm marking my fish, and if I've seen them slide off, then I'll probably go to cranks, and if they're slid off and I'm not getting them to go, I'll probably start casting to deeper humps or deeper structure. To where I know fish would be. So, what about Mitch?
A typical morning, Mitch, for all three, and then we'll wrap it up. A typical morning in the summer, it's 6:35 and the sun is coming up. You're doing what?
Checking points to start, I guess, because that's kind of what I would do.
All right, and what are you fishing with?
Blade bait.
So you're going to start off with blade rate and jig wrap?
Yeah, I might.
Okay.
It really just depends on what lake it is.
Okay.
You know, and what structure there is that I'm going to fish.
Okay, Brad?
I'm gonna go in and probably pull some of my roadbeds or points with bouncers, and pay attention to my graph to tell me what's next. I'm just using my bouncers to move water and find fish, you know, but that way I'm actively fishing. I'm going that point.
And then
point.
Your next choice?
It's probably going to be, well, wherever I fish them, but usually you're going to start finding them stacked up a little bit deeper, coming off of the weed beds or the humps, and probably start casting to them. Casting like the shiver minnows or the blade baits or jig heads. And if I've seen them on the bottom, if not, I'll start pulling cranks.
So I'm going to go up to points or whatever, you know, 10, 12 feet deep. I'm going to cast a jig head and a half a crawler. I'm going to cast a jig head and a... some sort of gulp, and I'm going to do that first. And with probably within an hour or so, 2 hours, if the bite dies or when the bite dies, I'm going to either slide out and check suspended, or I'm going to do bottom bouncers, and I'm going to start checking points. And if that is working for a while, that'll be great. And then if that dies off, then I'm going to start bumping out deeper and looking for fish that are concentrated at the
really
end
all of us are cut, really of us all. It's funny you say that because we've never talked about this in all the years we've been together. What would you do the first three things this time of dog days? It's all the three same things.
It's just different orders.
Well, but it's all coming up with the same thing.
And really, what is it? It's finding the fish.
It's finding the fish.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, we call this dog days of summer. I think that is kind of the key. They could be anywhere.
Yeah.
They could be utilizing all kinds of different structure, whatever, right. and forage.
Can
whatever.
Be and will be.
Well, you know, maybe the real definition of a dog days of summer is like when I leave my
get
front
your
door.
Get your ass out and fish.
Well, I leave my front door open and that dog runs. Well, I don't know where he's going. I gotta go find him.
You know? Yeah. Well, So this has been a pretty good podcast, really. I mean, I think it gets guys thinking about what they need to do. It's really just be versatile. The fish are still there. They're active. Well, they're real active. Yeah. But you got to realize that you have a lot of competition.
Yep. And this is when, you know, your wife asks you, do you really need that many rods in your boat? Well, this time of year, yeah, I do. I mean, I need all of them plus two more.
Yeah. Should I go get some more? Yeah. Maybe I'll get them on the way.
Yeah, because it is one of those deals where you are rolling through rods and presentations to try to figure out, like you said, once you see them, all right, what's going to get them to go? So, you know, you got to be versatile, and you have to be willing to change it up pretty quickly. Yeah, I mean, yep. Trolling rods are laying on the deck right next to, you know, slip
casting
rods.
Slip bomber rods, whatever.
I mean, so we're just getting ready to, you know.
Bouncing rods, yep. Whatever.
I mean, it's whatever is going that first, you know, that first off, and then you're just rolling through the progression, you know.
Yeah,
and
they're out there. Go get them. Yeah. That's what it is. Yep, you'll find them.
You will.
You'll find them. And it's kind of the three things that we've talked about. We had a little bit different order, but what we were actively doing, like Mitch said, we're looking for the fish.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up. Hey, one of the things that I want to make sure, and you know what's really been working out good, is a lot of guys are sending stuff to our Gmail account. AllEyesOnFishing@gmail.com. A lot. And we got a lot of requests out there, guys, for different podcast show. We're getting to them. We'll get to them. Some of them just aren't what's right to talk about
this
now.
Right now, yeah.
Some of that stuff is more fall or early spring type stuff, but we get your message. We love it.
Yep.
We also have had a lot of emails, and we've talked about this before, a lot of them, to where it takes quite a bit to get back to everybody. So yep. We're doing it. If you don't see a response, we'll get to you. Yep. So yep. Check definitely. Out our shirts and stuff, too. We got a great line. Junior, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the coolest part, I think, is we spent a lot of time this summer and put together different hats and shirts and found a couple
towels.
Of different, yeah, towels, found a couple of different distributors that will do it for less so we could get it to you guys for less. So, again, same deal is we do everything custom. So you order it, we order it from them. We don't keep a huge supply of shirts and stuff on hand. So it takes a little bit for us to get them and get them to you. But we'll get them to you and spread the logo. We had one of our fans in Minnesota put it on his bubble, ordered a decal, put it on his bubble, sent cool. us a cool picture. It was awesome.
You got to put that on Facebook.
I'll post it this week. And so, anyways, great, great deal. You know, it looks good. It's fun. And, you know, it's just like In Fisherman or any other, you know, place that gives you a good info. Spread the love, spread the decal, let people see it, make it a recognizable image in the fishing industry, and we'll keep going.
Yeah. Anything else? All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.